The book of Ezekiel, probably a book that we don't very often study, and I must admit I don't think I've heard a series on the book of Ezekiel in all my Christian life, and I can't think of any sermon. But I was reading the book of Ezekiel, and it is difficult, you hear of the Lord's judgment. But then when I came to Ezekiel chapter 34, and suddenly you get this ray of light. It might be a very dim ray at first. And it was the verses, from verse 20 onwards, when Ezekiel says, "Therefore, thus saith the Lord God unto him, Behold, even I will judge between the fat cattle and between the lean cattle, because ye have thrust through the side of your shoulder, pushed the disease with your horns. So therefore will I save my flock, and they shall no more be a prey, and I will judge. And I will set up one shepherd over them, and he shall feed them. Even my servant David, he shall feed them, and he shall be their shepherd. And I, the Lord, will be their God, and my servant David, a prince among them. I, the Lord, have spoken it." And so there we have that prophecy of our Saviour, the Lord Jesus Christ. And as I said, perhaps a dim ray, but as you study it and consider it, and consider this chapter, you can see how the Lord Jesus Christ is the true shepherd, the good shepherd, and the great shepherd. And we have that promise, "I will set up one shepherd over them." And so we are a blessed and a privileged people, because we can look back and see how this prophecy has been perfectly fulfilled in the Lord Jesus Christ. But if you read Ezekiel, the first three chapters tell us about the calling of Ezekiel and how he was equipped to be a prophet. The name Ezekiel means "whom God strengthens." And certainly Ezekiel needed a lot of strength for the prophecies that he brought, not only to the house of Israel, but as we'll see in a minute, to others. And again, if you read Jeremiah chapter 21, verses 1 to 10, and Jeremiah 51, you can see references made to Ezekiel and also the destruction of Babylon. It is thought that Ezekiel was about 25 years old when he was taken into captivity, and his ministry started when he was 30, and that he prophesied for some 22 years. Ezekiel was also a contemporary with Daniel. And just as you read the first few chapters of Ezekiel, you can see what a true prophet is. You can see that Ezekiel is a true prophet. He is one that has been called by God. He was one that was sent by God to declare God's word. He was a true prophet, as I said, he was called. He heard and obeyed God's word, and he faithfully delivered God's word. Ezekiel was sent by the Lord. In Ezekiel chapter 3 and verse 4 we read, "And he said unto me, Son of man, go get thee unto the house of Israel, and speak with my words unto them." So Ezekiel was sent to the house of Israel that had been scattered abroad and was now in Babylon. And then in Ezekiel 34, we just read, "Son of man, prophesy against the shepherds of Israel." Ezekiel was sent to bring God's word to the house of Israel. But not only to the house of Israel, you can read in Ezekiel 25 how he was sent and spake God's word to the Ammonites, the Moabites, the Edomites, and the Philistines. Ezekiel 26, he speaks to Tyre and Sidon. Ezekiel 29, prophecies for Egypt. All the nations surrounding the house of Israel are addressed in this book. That reminds us that God's word applies to all nations, not just the house of Israel. God's word today applies to all nations. Not just to the church, not just to Great Britain, as some might have you believe. All right, it applies to all nations. And remember, God does and God will judge all nations. Excuse me. The psalmist says, say among the heathen that the Lord reigneth. The world shall does and shall be established, that it shall not be moved. He shall judge the people righteously. And Psalm 96 in verse 13, before the Lord, for he cometh to judge the earth. He shall judge the world with righteousness and the people with his truth. And again, Apostle Paul, when he was speaking in Acts 17, he says, because he appointed a day in the which he will judge the world in righteousness by the man whom he hath ordained. So God's word applies to all of us. First instance, Ezekiel did prophesy to the house of Israel, but also the words apply to all nations. And we read in verse 2 of 34, prophesy against the shepherds of Israel. And so we ask the question, and you need to ask the question, who are these shepherds? And in this case, the shepherds are a broad group of people in the house of Israel. It's to the political authorities, the governors over Israel, to the kings, the princes, the civil magistrates, the Levites, the Sanhedrin. These are all shepherds of Israel. And again, as you read Ezekiel 34, you can see this group, the shepherds of Israel that Ezekiel addresses, are really a load of rogues. We know too, the Lord Jesus Christ said in John's Gospel that false shepherds, hireling shepherds, would arise. And we can say that these shepherds of Israel that Ezekiel is talking about are those false shepherds, the hireling shepherds. And again, Matthew, we read, beware of false prophets, which come to you in sheep's clothing, but inwardly they are ravening wolves. A description of these shepherds to the house of Israel. As I said, they had a broad description, these shepherds. They were people that are appointed as rulers. Remember it said of Cyrus, the king of Persia, in Isaiah, thus saith of Cyrus, he is my shepherd and shall perform all my pleasure. The shepherds did have authority and power, and they had to exert it according to God's word. Remember, David was a shepherd and a king, a ruler. As we know, Christ is the good shepherd, but he's also King of kings and Lord of lords. If you read the first three verses of Romans chapter 13, we can see how those that have authority are to govern and to rule. We're told that they have their power because they've first been given the power by the Lord. In verse 6 of Romans 13, we're reminded, they say, for they are God's ministers. So the word of Ezekiel applies to all who have authority. And Ezekiel's prophecy brought to the house of Israel was basically the rebellion of all in authority, those in authority not acting according to God's word. Reminder again that we're all subject to the Lord and we'll have to answer to the Lord. Those in authority will have to answer for the power they wield, how that authority has been used, and whether it has been according to God's word. And in Ezekiel 34, we have that phrase in verses 7 and 9. Hear the word of the Lord. That's the instruction. The instruction to the shepherds of the house of Israel, but by extension, to every one of us, we to hear the word of the Lord. The shepherds had gone astray because they hadn't taken heed to God's word. They hadn't listened to God's word. And we look around and we complain that the land is in such a mess. Why is it in such a mess? Because they hadn't taken heed to God's word. The Ten Commandments, if fulfilled, we'd have a very ordered society. And so, one thing we can learn from these shepherds to the house of Israel, it teaches us, it shows us the truth that the psalmist expresses when you read in Psalm 118. It is better to trust in the Lord than to put confidence in man. It is better to trust in the Lord than to put confidences in princes. Remember, all men are feeble. All men have feet of clay. All men have wicked and sinful hearts. And so it is folly to trust in them. No, and that's why, and we can see why the Lord sent the Lord Jesus Christ, that one shepherd, because we can have faith and trust in him, knowing that he will fulfill what he has promised to do. He will keep his promises. But again, as we'll see later on, he will not only keep his promises, he will bless those that follow him, that call upon his name. And Ezekiel sent to the house of Israel because the shepherds were not acting according to the word of God. They might have been hearers of the word of God, but they weren't doers of the word of God. And you can see some of the ways that these shepherds were abusing their position. If you read the first part of Ezekiel 34, in verse 2 we read, "So a man prophesied against the shepherd of Israel, prophesying and said to him, Thus saith the Lord God unto the shepherds, Woe to be the shepherds of Israel, that they feed themselves. Should not the shepherds feed the flock?" These shepherds weren't taking care of the sheep. They were feeding themselves, taking care of themselves, but they weren't feeding the sheep. And again, in verse 3, you can see that they're exploiting the sheep. They're not taking care. They're exploiting their positions for their gain, but not for the sheep of their flock. They don't protect them in the health. The diseased have not strengthened, neither have ye healed that which was sick, neither have ye bound up that which was broken, neither have ye brought again that which was driven away, neither have ye sought that which is lost, but with force and with cruelty have you ruled them. And so they didn't protect, they didn't care those in their charge. They were scattered. In verse 5 we read, "And they were scattered because there is no shepherd. They became meat to all the beasts of the field, and they were scattered when they were scattered." And again, the house of Israel was scattered. It was sent into captivity in Babylon because of these shepherds of the house of Israel that were in it for their gain, not to look after the sheep. A description of physical suffering, but remember, the spiritual suffering is even greater for the house of Israel. And you can imagine that the true sheep of the house of Israel were feeling battered, bruised, and cast down by all that had gone on, being taken into captivity to Babylon. And in a way, the church is in a similar position. We can become very cast down and dispirited by what we're doing. Again, in this land, we look round, and those that have authority, what have they done in my lifetime? They've trampled underfoot the truth of God. We've had Sunday trading become rampant. Marriage has been devalued in so many ways that I just didn't want to describe. Sanctity of life. We have abortion on demand. They're pushing through this assisted suicide bill. The preaching of God's word. They want to try and hamper. You hardly go a week without hearing about street preachers that are arrested or silenced because they dared to preach the word of God. Christians in the workplace, if they stick to God's word, to the truth, are sacked from their positions of employment. And so we could become dispirited, cast down. I'm sure those sheep of the house of Israel were very bewildered and cast down. But the message of the shepherds to the shepherds of Israel confirmed to us, as I said, the folly of trusting in man. And the message that Ezekiel gives is to the world today, to the church today, to us today. That is, hear the word of God. And so we might be despondent. But this changes, as I said, in Ezekiel 34, when we get to those verses in verse 20, where we have that promise, I will set up one shepherd over. This promise is sure and certain. Because who's made this promise? What do we read? I'll set up one shepherd over, he shall feed them, he shall feed them. And I, the Lord their God, and my servant David, the prince, I, the Lord, have spoken. This promise has come from the Lord. And we know, because as I said, we have the privilege of being able to look back and see the coming of the Lord Jesus Christ. We can see that the word of God is sure and certain. Nothing will thwart it. He promised that he would send a shepherd, and in due time, the Lord Jesus Christ came. And so Ezekiel is telling the house of Israel, you've been exploited by all these shepherds, but there is coming one shepherd that will be the good shepherd, that won't exploit you, that will be for your benefit, to build you up, to strengthen you, to restore you, to redeem you. We have this word of hope. And again, blessed and privileged that we are, we can look back and see how the Lord Jesus Christ has perfectly fulfilled this promise. And so Ezekiel is saying, don't look round about, look to the one shepherd. The lesson for us today, we can be cast down, but are we continuing to look to the Lord Jesus Christ, the one shepherd? We know, and we quote, don't often, that verse from Hebrews, looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith. What more do we need to know that the Lord Jesus Christ is the author? He is the one that's called us, and he is the one that will keep and preserve us in our faith. We read in Titus, looking for that blessed hope and the glorious appearing of the great God, our Saviour, Jesus Christ. That is our hope, that we're looking to our Saviour, the Lord Jesus Christ, who is going to come again, as we already know, to judge the world in righteousness. And look at the shepherd that Ezekiel has directed to, the one shepherd, and compare him with all the shepherds of the house of Israel. We sang it, a reminder from Psalm 121. We need to lift our eyes unto the hills from whence our help comes. And so we have the exceedingly precious promise of the Lord in Ezekiel verse 22. Therefore I will save my flock, and they shall no more be a prey, judge between cattle and cattle. The Lord says he will save his flock, and they shall no more be a prey. This reference to judge between cattle and cattle is a reference to men arguing and trying to judge. But it's the Lord that will judge, and he is the righteous judge. The Lord delivered this promise, the promise that he would set up one shepherd over them. He shall feed them, even my servant David. He shall feed them and he shall be their shepherd. Again, not a direct reference to King David, who was a shepherd, but he had been dead for years. As we read in Acts, 13, verses 22 and 23. And this is Paul preaching, and he said, when he had removed him, he raised unto them David to be their king, to whom also he gave testimony, and said, I have found David, the son of Jesse, a man after my own heart, which shall fill the world. And of this man's seed hath God, according to his promise, raised unto Israel a Saviour, Jesus. He is the one that is that perfect shepherd, that good shepherd, that has fulfilled this prophecy in Isaiah. And again we read in Hebrews, now the God of peace that brought again from the dead our Lord Jesus Christ, that great shepherd of the sheep, through the blood of the everlasting covenant. The Lord Jesus Christ says, I am the good shepherd. And compare and contrast with those shepherds to the house of Israel. We have a description of the false shepherds, those ravenous wolves in sheep's clothing, and the description of how they treated the house of Israel. So what prophecy of this one shepherd? Again, I repeat it. It is because the Lord has promised it. It is the fulfillment and confirming to us the veracity and the truth of Scripture, the truth of those words of the Lord that Ezekiel brought to the house of Israel and also to us. Notice the promises. I will save my flock. Salvation is only through that one shepherd. The shepherds of the house of Israel could not provide salvation. It is folly to look to men for salvation. Verse 21, they will be protected. They'll no longer be a prey. Remember, our Saviour, the Lord Jesus Christ, has defeated Satan. We have the victory in the Lord Jesus Christ. And again, I repeat, we need to remind ourselves, there's only one shepherd. In the house of Israel, they were looking at many shepherds. And again, the way that this has worked out in this land, people say that there are many ways, many religions, and they're all valid. No, there's one shepherd, the Lord Jesus Christ. And we have that promise in verse 24. I, the Lord, will be their God. We can have that personal relationship with the Lord God because the one shepherd has come to reconcile us, to redeem us, to bring us close to his heavenly Father. And I will make with them a covenant of peace. We have that covenant of peace because the Lord Jesus Christ has shed his blood, the blood of the New Testament, in order that we might know forgiveness of sins, that we can be reconciled to Almighty God. Verse 26, we read in Ezekiel 34, we have the promise here. It says, verse 26, and I'll make them and place around about my hill a blessing, and call the showers come down in the season, and there shall be showers of blessing. We have the blessing of a church. The Lord Jesus Christ, because he is God, has provided us with a church, a place where there should be a true under-shepherd, a place where we can receive spiritual blessing, spiritual food. And verse 27 says, and they shall know, and I have broken the bands of their yoke and delivered them out of the land of those that served themselves. And remember, a reminder that our Lord has released us from the bondage of Satan and sin. He has broken that bondage that we're in. Again, Paul in Romans says, because the creature itself also shall be delivered from the bondage of corruption into the glorious liberty of the children of God. The Lord has come and broken that bondage of Satan and sin so we can know the liberty of serving our God. And so all these promises that Ezekiel made, they all pointing to our Saviour, the Lord Jesus Christ. the promise of salvation, the forgiveness of sins, victory, that we have that one shepherd, and all that means, the promises that he's made to each one of us, that he would never leave nor forsake us. The peace that we can enjoy, knowing that our sins are forgiven, that we have that sure and certain hope, that safety. The Lord has done all things necessary for our salvation. We're secure in his hands. He is the one that has fed us. He is the one that has nurtured us. He is the one that has drawn aside when we've been tempted, when we've known difficulty, when we've known problems. We have the Lord Jesus Christ with us. And let us never forget, he's also blessed us with his word. We need to take heed to his word. And then in verse 29 we read, "And I'll raise up for them a plant of renewal, and they shall no more consume with hunger in the land, neither bear the shame of the heathen any more." Plant of renown, I think it's a reference to the root of Jesse. But also remember, a plant can imply food. And remember, the Lord Jesus Christ is the bread of life. He will feed his flock, as we know in John, don't we? "Then Jesus saith unto them, I am the bread of life, and he that cometh to me shall never hunger, and he that believeth on me shall never thirst." The false shepherds of the house of Israel couldn't, wouldn't feed the flock. The Lord Jesus Christ feeds us, sustains us, and grants us water so we never thirst. And so the Lord's charge against the shepherds of Israel, that they didn't feed the flock. They exploited the flock for their benefit. Contrast with the one shepherd we read in Ezekiel 34, verses 15, 14 and 15. "I'll feed them in good pasture. Upon the high mountains of Israel shall their fold be. They shall lie in a good fold in a fat pasture, and they'll feed upon the mountains of Israel. I'll feed my flock, and I'll cause them to lie down, saith the Lord." A complete opposite of the shepherds of the house of Israel. They shepherds were exploiting their flock for their own gain. But remember, our Saviour, the Lord Jesus Christ, we read, "For ye know the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, that though he was rich, yet for your sake he became poor, that ye through his poverty might be rich. We are rich because our shepherd has laid down his life, unlike the shepherds that were exploiting the house of Israel." Again, we see it so often in the churches today. We hear of the modern prosperity gospel, and you can look at some of the churches in America. Well, I wouldn't recommend it, but you can see a lot of the ministers in those churches are exploiting. They become extremely wealthy. But the Lord Jesus Christ doesn't exploit anyone. He laid down his life. He became poor that we might know the riches that are ours in Christ Jesus our Lord. And so the good shepherd, he's given his all for the flock. He's shed his blood. He has laid down his life. Again, remind yourselves, go and look at those verses in John about the shepherd. "I am the good shepherd. The good shepherd giveth his life for sheep. I give unto them eternal life. They shall never perish, neither shall any man pluck them out of my hand." The good shepherd has provided and done everything for his sheep. For we know from Ephesians, "For by grace are ye saved through faith, and that not of yourself, it is the gift of God." The faith we have has been provided by our Lord. And so, the failure of the shepherds of the house of Israel is summed up for us in verse 4 of our chapter we just read. "The diseased have ye not strengthened, neither have ye healed that which is sick, neither have ye bound up that which is broken, neither have ye brought again that which was driven away, neither have ye sought that which was lost, but with force and cruelty you have ruined them." remember the Lord Jesus Christ when he was in the temple, in the synagogue, he read in Luke, we read, the Spirit of the Lord is upon you. He's quoting from Isaiah. Because he has anointed me to preach the gospel to the poor. He has set me to heal the brokenhearted, to preach deliverance to the captive, and recovery of sight to the blind, and liberty to the bruised. And as the Lord Jesus Christ has finished speaking those words, he said, this day is the scripture fulfilled in your ear. What a contrast with those false shepherds to the house of Israel. The Lord has done everything. The Lord indeed is the great shepherd, the good shepherd. And again, the effects of these false shepherds, as you read through Ezekiel, you can see that the flock was scattered. The flock was deserted. The shepherds didn't feed the flock, so the flock was scattered. Again, if sheep aren't fed, they will wander, they will break out. But again, we have the contrast of the good shepherd in 34 and verses 11, 12, 13, and 16 we read, for thus saith the Lord, behold, even I will both search my sheep, seek them out, as a shepherd seeketh out his flock in the day that he is among his sheep that are scattered, so I'll seek out my sheep and will deliver them out of all places where they have been scattered, a cloudy and dark day. And verse 16, I will seek that which was lost and bring again that which was driven away, and will bind up that which was broken, will strengthen that which was sick, but I will destroy the fat and the strong, I'll feed them with judgment. The good shepherd cares for his sheep, but he also seeks out his sheep. As we know about Christ, for the Son of Man has come to seek and to save that which was lost. We have the parable of the good shepherd. And so the Lord Jesus Christ was gathering in Ezekiel we read that there would be the gathering of the house of Israel. But that was the gathering of from Babylon and returning to Jerusalem. We know that the Lord Jesus Christ has called us, has gathered us, has granted us a church. But we know that that will finally be fulfilled when he returns to judge the world and will be with him forevermore. But again, this idea that the shepherd will search out the scattered. What does Christ tell us in John's Gospel? Other sheep I have, which are not of this fold, them also must I bring, and they shall hear my voice, and there shall be one fold and one shepherd. The one shepherd, the true shepherd, is come into this world to call from every nation, every kindred, every tribe, and every tongue. And the gospel call, the call of Christ, is not just to the house of Israel. The Lord Jesus calls his sheep from the uttermost parts of the world. He searches for them in all the corners of the world. He came and sought me. He called me, and he has provided for me. He is indeed the good shepherd. The church is here because the Lord has called you out. The Lord has provided the church. And so we are united in Christ. We're part of that one fold. The universal church, and we'll finally see the extent of the church when Christ returns. And so, cast down, look to the one shepherd, raise your eyes unto the hill from where they come. Dwell on the good shepherd, dwell on all that the Lord Jesus Christ is. And so the question I have to ask you, have you taken heed to the word of God and following the good shepherd? The last few verses of our chapter we read, thus saith they, know that I am the Lord their God and with them. And they, even the house of Israel, are my people, saith the Lord God. And ye my flock, the flock of my pasture, know. And I am your God, saith the Lord God. Is the Lord God your God? The question to ask. And we're going to sing with this singing of faith. paraphrase of the 23rd Psalm. David, a shepherd, but he said, the Lord is my shepherd. And is that your testimony? Can you say from the heart that the Lord is your shepherd? So we'll sing hymn number 736. The Lord is my shepherd, I'll not want. He makes me down to lie. In pastures green, he leadeth me, the quiet waters by. Now the God of peace, that brought again from the dead our Lord Jesus, that great shepherd of the sheep, through the blood of the everlasting covenant, make you perfect in every good work, to do his will, working in you that which is well-pleasing in his Son, through Jesus Christ, to whom be glory for ever and ever. Amen. Amen.